BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. And today, a news roundup, as there is a lot of news that we want to share with you all throughout the week. It's as if we could have a news roundup a couple, three times a week. So much breaking every single day. We'll seek to keep you informed on a number of issues. We're going to spend some extended time dealing with COVID here today and vaccinations and so forth, and some interesting information that has resurfaced once again on this topic. Certainly to be understanding of the times in which we live. We're going to see some aspects of deception going on in our world. We're going to see that which is glorifying immorality in our world today. But friends, man's most basic need is that he needs the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we go through these stories, may they burden our hearts to be the salt and light God has called us to be. We're going to start with an interesting story from WND.com, a commentary that came out from Joseph Ferrer. He said, "We all know about Dr. Anthony Fauci did as far as donating money to the Wuhan lab for the purpose of developing gain-of-function tools to increase the lethality of viruses, a plan that was previously nixed by Barack Obama in 2014. He knew it was a risky lab. The U.S. State Department warned in 2018 about the lack of safety protocols at Wuhan, noting that the deficiencies could trigger another SARS outbreak. But you may not have heard this, a shocking claim Fauci made over 5 years ago. Even the fact checkers found it to be true. It came to a news story by Gerald Gallagher in Helio.com. It's a health publication, January 11th, 2017. The headline read, Fauci says, no doubt Trump will face surprise infectious disease outbreak. Anthony Fauci, MD, director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said there is no doubt Donald J. Trump will be confronted with the surprise infectious disease outbreak during his presidency. It came just 9 days before Trump was sworn into office, January 20th, 2017. The report continued, quote, during a forum on pandemic preparedness at Georgetown University, Fauci said the Trump administration will not only be challenged by ongoing global health threats such as influenza and HIV, but also a surprise disease outbreak. The Political Insider says on Tuesday, the U.S. Senate broke out in applause after passing an amendment from Senator Rand Paul that bans the use of U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund gain-of-function research in China. Paul said in a speech before the vote took place, we may never know whether the pandemic arose from the lab in Wuhan, but we do know that so far no intermediate animal host has been discovered. The rare moment of bipartisanship was highlighted by the fact that the amendment passed by a voice vote. Well, amid a growing turn about in the media, President Biden has asked for a stronger inquiry now into the origins of COVID-19. He issued a statement Wednesday saying that U.S. intelligence is currently split on whether the virus emerged naturally or was part of an experiment conducted by the Chinese, but he has asked for a more definitive report in 90 days. Part of the barrier to arriving at a definitive answer is that China and the Wuhan lab, which has received funding from the NIH, Dr. Anthony Fauci's Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and other U.S. entities, failed to provide the samples, inspections, and cooperation needed. As reported, genetic analysis conducted by U.S. officials early in the pandemic concluded that COVID-19 showed hallmarks of man's manipulation. The report also showed that the U.S. has partnered with Chinese scientists at the Wuhan lab, using taxpayer funds from Fauci's Institute and NIH to conduct controversial gain-of-function research on bat coronavirus. Gain-of-function research takes a virus that is currently harmless to people and manipulates it genetically to make it infectious in people for the purpose of developing a vaccine and other therapies in advance. From the New American, Beijing has responded to President Biden's announcement of a probe in the origins for COVID-19 by denouncing the lab leak hypothesis as a conspiracy theory and urging an investigation into secret U.S. biolabs around the world. At a press conference in March 2020, Lijian Zhao, a spokesman for the Chinese military, a foreign ministry that is, instead voiced his suspicion that it was actually the U.S. scientist who developed the virus. He claimed that the covert research took place in one of American bioweapon laboratories, and that was sent to China during the Wuhan military games in October that year. Interesting indeed. LifeSiteNews.com. After Mexico City introduced ivermectin plan, COVID hospitalizations and deaths disappeared. That's the headline. A citywide initiative in Mexico's bustling capital to prescribe ivermectin to COVID-19 positive patients has resulted in a 52-76% reduction in hospitalizations. Concerned about hospital capacity in the summer of 2020, the Mexican government devised an aggressive testing regime, ramping up from 3,000 tests per day in June to 24,000 antigen tests every day by that November. Mexico City Ministry of Health head Olivia Lopez later announced that doctors will give ivermectin and azithromycin to treat COVID-19. Local authorities created a home treatment kit, including ivermectin, for its 22 million-strong population December 28, 2020, following a spike in COVID-19. Individuals testing positive from an antigen test and who were experiencing at least mild symptoms began receiving one of these ivermectin-based treatment kits from December 29th. As part of the program of testing and early treatment, the Mexican government opened a study to track the effect that early treatment of COVID with ivermectin was having in the city's population. The study followed two cohorts, those who received ivermectin, those who did not, included some 200,000 people. But they have introduced this, and the COVID hospitalizations and deaths disappeared. From townhall.com, a study here, masks did not slow down the COVID spread. They report new findings Tuesday. The University of Louisville study conducted using data from the CDC governing multiple seasons reports that mask mandates and use are not associated with the lower SARS-CoV-2 spread among U.S. states. Prolonged mask use that's greater than 4 hours per day promotes facial alkalization. The alkalizing of faces and inadvertently encourages dehydration, which in turn can enhance barrier breakdown and bacterial infection risk. British clinicians have reported masks to increase headaches and sweating and decrease cognitive precision. Coming to us from WND.com, Dr. Peter McCullough, prominent cardiologist, internist, and professor of medicine who has testified to the U.S. Senate, has explained that he is not against vaccines, and many of his patients have been vaccinated for COVID-19, but he said in a new interview this week that with increasing reports of adverse effects, it's too risky for people to receive one of the experimental vaccines. Based on the safety data now, I can no longer recommend it, he said in the interview. There are over 4,000 dead Americans. There are over 10,000 in Europe that die on days 1, 2, and 3 after the vaccine, the doctor reported. Also from WND.com, arguing for people who choose not to be vaccinated, a Johns Hopkins professor estimates that nearly half the country has natural immunity due to prior infection that protects them from COVID-19. Dr. Marty McCary claimed that the U.S. already has achieved the objective of herd immunity, combining the vaccinated with those who have been infected, estimating 85% of the population is immune to the novel coronavirus. From LifeSiteNews.com, 18 Connecticut teens hospitalized for heart problems after the COVID vaccines. The White House says young people should still get the shots. The mother of a 17-year-old Gregory Hatton, diagnosed with pericarditis within days of his second dose of the vaccine, said her son basically has a heart condition now, and it is terrifying. 1 week after the CDC announced it was investigating heart inflammation in recently vaccinated young adults, Connecticut reported 18 new cases of heart problems among teenagers who had received a COVID vaccine. All 18 cases resulted in hospitalization. Also from LifeSite, a group of parents, along with America's frontline doctors, have filed a motion in federal court seeking a temporary restraining order to prevent the expansion of the FDA emergency use authorization for COVID-19 vaccines to include children under the age of 16. Saying, here's a statement from Dr. Angelina Farella. She is a AFLDS pediatric medical director, saying we've never seen this level of side effects for any vaccine without the FDA taking action. The rotavirus vaccine was pulled for 15 days of non-lethal side effects. The swine flu vaccine pulled for 25 deaths. But now By the CDC's own data, we are seeking a 12,000% increase in deaths with these vaccines, and they're still talking about giving this to our kids. Our children should never be the experiment, she continued. No additional authorizations or mandates should be granted. We want to preserve the previously established safety standards. Dr. Frella also cited statistics from the CDC, which confirms children are at statistically zero risk for COVID-19, making expansion of the EUA for younger children medically unnecessary. And frontline doctors now filing a motion to stop the FDA authorization of COVID vaccines for children. LifeScienceNews.com telling us one of India's most eminent cardiologists has died after falling ill with COVID-19 just months after receiving his second shot of the experimental jabs. This is a Dr. K.K. Agarwal, died May 17th following complications arising from a bout of COVID-19 despite being fully vaccinated, according to national reports in Indian news. Also, the large increase in the number of breakthrough cases are taking place, some 5,800 breakthrough coronavirus cases, including 396 hospitalizations and 74 deaths. From LifeScienceNews.com, latest CDC data shows that reports of adverse effects after COVID vaccines surpass 200,000 now, including 943 among 12 to 17-year-olds. The VAERS data released Tuesday show over 227,000 reports of adverse effects following the vaccine, over 4,200 deaths, 18,528 serious injuries. That's from December 14th to May 14th. 20% of the deaths were related to cardiac disorders. 54% of those who died, male, 44% female. Average age of death, 74.7. The youngest deaths reported between include two 15-year-olds and a 16-year-old. Also reported deaths in children under 16 that could not be confirmed. As of May 14th, 1,140 pregnant women reported adverse effects related to COVID vaccines, including 351 reports of miscarriage or premature death. 2,275 cases of Bell's palsy reported. The 65,854 reports of anaphylaxis, 3,758 reports of clotting disorders and other related conditions as well. From Breitbart, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey has signed Senate Bill 267 to ban COVID vaccine passports in the Yellowhammer State. We understand this is something that joining other states like Arizona, Florida, Idaho, Montana, Texas, and South Dakota in prohibiting vaccine passports or documentation in some form. Let's see. This is a story from the Vaccine Reaction. May 12, 2021, the French National Assembly passed a bill approving the use of a COVID health pass. The pass would be in a digital form or paper would be required as of June 9th to prove an individual has either been fully vaccinated for COVID-19, recently tested negative for SARS-CoV-2, or has recovered from the virus as a prerequisite for attending certain sports and cultural events in France or in leaving the country. Israel, as you know, has been very aggressive in this. They instituted the COVID Green Pass in February, and it is required for entry into everything from cafes and theaters to gyms, swimming pools, and hotels. Matter of fact, the French Academy of Medicine is recommending compulsory vaccination now. This past Tuesday, the French Academy of Medicine published a statement recommending the vaccination of children and adolescents against COVID-19, as well as making the jab compulsory by stages, starting with certain groups within the French population. I've got more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk, a News Roundup Friday here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many different types of animals did Noah take on board the ark?
Chris, detractors from the biblical flood story say that there were way too many animals to have fit on board the ark. But not so. Let's look carefully. First off, we need to recognize that most animals live in the ocean and would not have to be on board the ark. They would survive, at least in representative numbers, outside the ark. By the way, Noah didn't even have to take two of every species. The Bible says two of every kind, probably a broader category which might include a number of species, like the dog kind. Altogether, I suspect that there were probably less than 20,000 animals on board the ark. This was difficult for Noah, but not impossible. At least that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America and keeping you informed on a number of issues, so many that are not covered by mainstream media here across the nation. And just a few more things on COVID. I know it's been pretty heavy in that first segment there, but there is much that is going on this issue that you need to know about. TheNewAmerican.com reporting that the vaccine rollout has been a bonanza for drug manufacturers, making the production of COVID-19 vaccines one of the most lucrative businesses these days. Reportedly, Moderna's share price has gained more than 700% since February 2020. Pfizer's stock price surged nearly 50% since last year, while the German partner BioNTech went from a startup to a multi-billion dollar company in just months. The share price grew some by 600%. There's the Chinese CanSino Biologics stock up 440% over the same period. COVID-19 vaccine industry has added nine names to the Forbes rich list. And out of the state of California, Governor Newsom is launching a $116.5 million giveaway for vaccinated Californians, $15 million in cash prizes for 10 winners selected on June the 15th. $50,000 for winners on June 4th and June 11th. Already vaccinated, you're entered. Not vaccinated, the next 2 million that get fully vaccinated can also get a $50 card. The incentives are just building all across this nation. Why is it taking incentives to get people to take the COVID-19 shot? Zero Hedge is reporting in a flagrant violation of patients' medical privacy that has come to light. The British government has admitted now to collecting and using smartphone data to analyze their activity without disclosing it as part of a vaccination study. A report by the Independent Scientific Pandemic Insights Group on Behaviors claimed research found that the University of Oxford discreetly used data from mobile phones as part of their study into how vaccinations affected the lifestyles of patients. Well, basically, to sum things up, they found that the patients who had the received the shot, they traveled further from their home than those who did not. But using private cell phone data to make that determination makes you wonder what's going on further in that country, but also what might be happening here. Columbia Engineering, a tiny wireless injectable chips are using ultrasound now to monitor body processes. Columbia engineers developed the smallest single chip system that is a complete functioning electronic circuit, implantable chips visible only in a microscope point, the way to develop chips that can be injected into the body with a hypodermic needle to monitor medical conditions. That's news that came out here in May from Columbia Engineering. Isn't that interesting? Let's get back here to the WND.com. The FDA says vaccine hesitant cannot use antibody tests to prove immunity. Many Americans who have chosen not to get the experimental COVID-19 vaccine because of the risk have hoped that testing positive for antibodies could substitute for being vaccinated, providing a virtual vaccine passport. But the FDA issued guidance this week stating that a vaccine is still needed to confirm immunity from the COVID-19 virus. From the Blaze, Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis says that there are many voters are relocating to Florida and overwhelmingly registering as Republicans as a result of the draconian lockdown measures that took place during the COVID-19 pandemic. Governors from Arizona, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Dakota, and Tennessee also in attendance at the event said they are seeking an uptick in political migration as well. From WND.com, just as California Governor Gavin Newsom was being ordered to pay $1.35 million for the legal fees of a church whose members sued him over his coronavirus-related lockdown orders, another fight has erupted over the same problem. The other and continuing fight concerns Santa Clara's war against Calvary Chapel, San Jose. Santa Clara County is insisting on access to Calvary sources of revenue loans, and budgets, claiming these requests are relevant to determine how much Calvary profited during the pandemic. According to a statement from Advocates for Faith and Freedom, which is working on the case, perhaps the same question should be asked of the county. They implemented a punitive fine system that undoubtedly caused their pocketbooks to swell off the hard-earned labor of small businesses. In any event, as a nonprofit entity, a church does not make profits. Rather, churches receive biblically mandated tithes and offerings from congregants. And more importantly, the county cannot seek whatever documents they want from a constitutionally protected church, the legal team said. The county already had sent two threatening letters to the church's bank, which coerced the bank to temporarily sever the relationship. The county demanding to review all of the church's finances. This is troubling. UNICEF. I remember years ago when kids got their little UNICEF boxes, went trick-or-treating for UNICEF. Now UNICEF is releasing a report saying pornography is not always harmful to children. CFAM is reporting that a UN agency is again immersed in controversy for a recent report suggesting there is no conclusive evidence that children exposed to pornography are harmed. The report published by the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, addresses how government policy can be used to protect children from harmful, abusive, and violent content online. Its conclusion is based on a European study of 19 EU countries that found in most countries, most children who saw pornographic images were neither upset nor happy. In fact, the report UNICEF relies on says 39% of Spanish children were happy after seeing pornography. UNICEF's report ignores the vast body of research demonstrating the harms of porn to children. By ignoring the real harms porn can have, UNICEF is playing roulette with children's health and safety, said Lisa Thompson, vice president research of the director of the Research Institute at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Thompson's organization has found that pornography can be a central driver of this abuse. UNICEF, now listen to this. UNICEF says any efforts to block children from accessing pornography online might infringe on their human rights. Isn't that amazing? We're going to infringe on the human rights of children if we don't allow them access to porn on the internet. UNICEF also claims that asking for age verification to access pornography online may deny children access to what it calls, quote, vital sexuality education. UNICEF. FoxNews.com. An armed school employee in Utah held off an attempted kidnapping suspect at gunpoint until officers arrived. The incident occurred Tuesday when a man grabbed an 11-year-old girl at a school playground in Ogden, Utah. Police say he tried to pull her away from the school employee, demanded he leave. The man let the girl go, and the employee took all the children inside, produced a gun, and held the man off when he punched a window in an apparent attempt to force his way inside. Thankful for that teacher being armed in order to protect the students. CNSNews.com, U.S. Customs and Border Protection says so far in fiscal year 2021, fentanyl seizures have already surpassed those from all fiscal years 2020 with 6,494 through April of 2021. On Sunday, Texas Governor Abbott, a Republican, said the flow of illegal drugs across the borders is not just a border problem. He said it goes all the way up to New York or to Minnesota or Chicago, places across the country. The Texas Department of Public Safety have seen an 800% increase in the amount of fentanyl coming across the border. They seized this year enough fentanyl. Listen to that, folks. This is staggering. And this is one of the reasons why border control is so urgently needed. The Texas Department of Public Safety has seen an 800% increase in the amount of fentanyl coming across the border. They seized this year enough fentanyl to kill every man, woman, and child in the entire state of New York. March 6, Governor Abbott announced he was launching the Operation Lone Star to fight the smuggling of people and drugs into Texas. As part of the effort, the Texas Department of Public Safety has joined forces with the Texas National Guard, deploying air, ground, marine, and tactical border security assets to the high-threat areas to deny Mexican cartels and other smugglers the ability to move drugs and people into Texas. You see, if the president of the United States refuses to protect our borders, ladies and gentlemen, somebody's got to do it. The governor is the next line of defense. When will our president wake up to what's going on? Just the fentanyl alone coming across this border. I mean, they have seized enough, and this makes you wonder, how much are they not seizing? How much is making it across the border? They seized enough that fentanyl that would have killed, that is potential, the potency of this to kill every man, woman, and child in the state of New York. The Clarion reporting also about Texas ranchers that are living in fear. Encounters with illegal aliens are increasing. There's Cole Hill, his wife, three children, live on a ranch in Kinney County, about 35 miles north of the U.S.-Mexico border. The property also flanks a Border Patrol highway checkpoint, and those who want to evade capture tend to walk a wide berth around it. He said he's dealt with illegal aliens traversing his land for years, but only about 25 people a year on average. Sometimes months would go by with no activity. But I'm going on about 6 weeks straight now with illegal aliens on my property on a daily basis or multiple groups a day, he said during a local meeting on May 22nd. Also interesting in this, he mentioned that he and his oldest son there were working out on the ranch. His wife called to tell him that there was a group of illegal immigrants surrounding the house. They're looking in the windows. They're at the back door. They're at the front door. They're banging on the walls, his wife said. He called the Border Patrol, but it took agents more than an hour to get there. New American reporting, the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas has ended his department's 287G agreement with Bristol County, Massachusetts. This is a program that trained county law enforcement personnel how to identify illegal alien criminals and helped Immigration and Customs Enforcement deport them. Mayorkas acted 3 months to the day after a letter from Senator Elizabeth Warren and other leftist elected officials suggested the move. That means fewer violent predators will be deported. Center for Immigration Studies tweeted out that the successful 287G program in Bristol County, Massachusetts, has resulted in the identification of illegal aliens arrested for child exploitation, assault, attempted murder, among other serious offenses. But the Biden administration plans to end the program. In fiscal year 2020, state and local law enforcement trained under this program encountered approximately 920 aliens convicted for assault, 1,261 convicted for dangerous drugs, 104 convicted for sex offenses and assaults, 377 convicted for obstructing police, 190 convicted for weapon offenses, 37 convicted for homicide, to name a few of the crimes. And the Biden administration is canceling the agreement to arrest illegal alien criminals. Remember what we talked about, the January 6th event at the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol? Well, guess what? Authorities have seized $90,000 from the so-called journalist who was paid by CNN and alleged he actually encouraged and emboldened the rioters. Coming from the Western Journal, a man who painted himself as an innocent, independent journalist when he captured the most violent scenes amid the January 6th breach of the U.S. Capitol building has been hit with additional charges and seen $90,000 in assets seized for selling his footage to media outlets. John Earl Sullivan claimed to have entered the Capitol with the intention of recording the rioters, yet quickly gained notoriety in the days that followed for his history of far-left anti-police activism that included charges of rioting, threats of violence, and criminal mischief in his home state of Utah. According to the original criminal affidavit, when he was first arrested in January on charges of unlawful entry, disorderly conduct, and attempted obstruction, he began the day January 6th with an apparent intention of burning down the Capitol building and ripping then-President Donald Trump out of office or something to that effect. Obtained the video of him posted on YouTube. He's provoking protest. He can be seen with a crowd with his megaphone to burn down, and he's using expletives throughout this. We got to rip Trump out of office. We ain't waiting until the next election. Sullivan then can be seen leading the crowd in a chant. It's time for revolution. Wow. Well, folks, we'll be back in a minute. I've got some more stories to share here on Crosstalk.
While living in this era of pandemics, economic chaos, natural disaster, and political strife, you may feel tempted to question whether God is in control. Yet when you look to the Bible, you'll find these events actually signal that His promises will soon be fulfilled. In the book Aftershocks, author Jeff Kinley reveals how current societal and global trends foreshadow the nearness of the end times, and how the prophecies about what is to come should renew your passion to lovingly proclaim Christ. Aftershocks addresses the global crisis, the rise of anti-Semitism, the end times economic collapse, and how the COVID pandemic is being used to promote globalism. Aftershocks is available for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We had a good interview with Rich Cristiano yesterday. And friends, even as we hear these stories of matters that are going on around the world today, one thing is certain, this world needs Jesus. He has produced what he calls to be one of his most evangelistic films that he's ever put out called Unidentified. I trust you caught the interview yesterday. If not, you can hear it at crosstalkamerica.com and rehear the broadcast from yesterday, a powerful film. And really, even though this was produced in 2006, but this heightened awareness of the UFO phenomena is really addressed in this film and covers the story of a couple of journalists who are to find out the truth of what's going on. They're out to prove each other wrong. One is a Christian antagonist. Another is a nominal Christian. There's also a very committed Christian in here as well. And you see the different roles, every kind of a person really depicted in this film here. But Unidentified, a powerful film. Here's just a brief clip that we shared yesterday.
I'm asking an honest question here. And according to the guru, the Bible says you have to receive Jesus in your life. So either you've done it or you haven't. So which is it, heaven or hell? Come on, Keith, heaven or hell? Answer the question, heaven or hell?
I don't know.
But I thought you were supposed to be a Christian.
Yeah, that's just a clip from Unidentified. It's a powerful film. And again, we're making this available. A donation for $12 for the first copy. Every additional copy thereafter going to the same address, just $8 more. They can be obtained at going to our website, vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or you may call our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Back to our news roundup here today from onenewsnow.com. An internal cable reveals that Secretary of State Antony Blinken has authorized, not required, but authorized, that U.S. embassies around the world can fly Black Lives Matter flags and banners. According to foreignpolicy.com, the authorization is part of the administration's response to the one-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd that sparked mass rioting and violence in cities like Minneapolis. So all over the world, embassies, not only have they been given permission to fly the so-called pride flag, but now also the Black Lives Matter flag. Incidentally, one of their co-founders, Patrice Cullors, you know, she's come under great controversy for her buying this very expensive home. She's one of the three women who started Black Lives Matter hashtag and subsequent activist organizations. Well, has announced now her resignation as executive director of the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, reports LGBTQNation.com. Cullors, who's out along with fellow co-founder Alicia Garza, told the AP that while she decried criticism of late that she described as a smear campaign from a far-right group, she's not leaving because of that, but moving on to complete her second book and accept a television development deal. They've been accused of mismanaging funds, with families and advocates for victims of police brutality saying the money is not going toward them or activists on the local level. After Cullors purchased a home in California this year, supposedly her fourth, several reports claim that she used her fundraising through the network to support herself and to buy property, are the allegations. The Daily Wire is reporting an Oregon school board updated its policy to mandate that every classroom in the school district display a Black Lives Matter and progressive pride flag or poster. May 6th, the Gresham Barlow School Board in Gresham, Oregon, updated the district's flag displays and salutes policy to reflect the progressive values of the board. The proposal would require the school board to provide an American flag, a pride flag, and a BLM flag for every classroom. Washington Examiner, anti-police attitudes and deep cuts to law enforcement budgets in cities run by left-wing governments have driven hundreds of officers from their jobs, and guess who is benefiting from this? Small-town America. Small towns are reaping the benefits. Beleaguered big city officers around the country are being welcomed to rural forces who are thrilled to have seasoned police and don't share the contempt some urban leaders seem to have for men and women in blue. The police bureau lost, Portland, they lost some 115 officers between July of last year and April of this year. In the first 4 months of 2021, Portland saw a homicide spike by 800% over the same time frame as last year. CNSNews.com telling us Walgreens found out that leftist laws can destroy business. Yes, in California, 7 years ago, social justice warriors put together Proposition 47, a successful ballot initiative known as the Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act, recategorized nonviolent offenses and especially known for lowering penalties for thefts under $950, making it just a misdemeanor. Well, areas of California have been liberally applied the proposition, now paying the consequences. Shoplifting spiraling out of control in the San Francisco metro area. Walgreens has closed some 17 stores there over the past 5 years. 10 of these were shuttered since 2019. The drugstore chain reports huge losses due to brazen theft and warns that more of the 53 remaining area stores may have to close. Colorado Sun, a very disturbing story here. Colorado children are attempting suicide and arriving in emergency rooms and psychiatric crisis at levels never before seen in the state, while abuse of alcohol and drugs to cope with mental health struggles also on the rise. The youth mental health crisis has escalated to the point this spring that hospital beds are full. More parents are sending kids out of state for treatment, according to a Children's Hospital Colorado panel of experts who sent up a flare for help on Tuesday. In Aurora, the hospital's 52-bed emergency department has been overrun with children in psychiatric crisis. Mental health emergency visits were up 90% last month compared with April of 2019. The hospital's transport team is seeing three or four kids each week who have just tried to kill themselves. The top overall reason children arrive in the emergency department is a suicide attempt. And any given day, 12 to 24 children are waiting for inpatient psychiatric bed to become available. Hear that, folks? On any given day, 12 to 24 children waiting for an inpatient psychiatric bed. Suicide and suicide attempts on the rise among children in the state of Colorado. Florida became the 23rd state to end the extra $300 unemployment benefit that has been given people to stay out of work. That figure is well below. The news came Monday on the heels of a dismal Labor Department report that revealed that just 266,000 jobs were added to the economy in April. That's below the 1 million jobs some analysts were predicting to take place. But people are being rewarded not to go to work. And many are receiving more money by not working than working. And we've got an employment shortage now across this nation. Number of states said that's enough. We're taking action on it. The Hill is telling us that President Biden is proposing a $6 trillion budget, increasing federal spending to the highest sustained level since World War II. Let me just cover a couple issues here on China. And that is... matter of fact, if you want to get on board here to share a brief comment on these or other current event stories, our number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. Again, our call-in number today, 800-733-9829, for you to comment on one of these stories or other current event stories, 800-733-9829. President Biden's administration suffered another humiliation on the world stage. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has attempted to speak with China's top general numerous times, has been unable to set up any talks, Reuters reported. China has ramped up military options in the South China Sea, and it appears they are not making any effort to even speak to the U.S. about it. A Beijing-backed think tank based in Hong Kong said there's a majority risk of military conflict between China and the U.S. over Taiwan. Also, President Biden will outsource the mining of most metals required for the manufacture of electric vehicles to allied nations. Reuters reported that on Tuesday. The plan is part of an effort to placate radical environmentalists whom it believed would interfere with U.S. mining efforts. The news comes as a shock to the American mining community, as the administration previously promised it would support domestic production of the metals required for electric vehicles and solar panels, according to Reuters, but not anymore. The president now planning to outsource this. Gatestone Institute reporting China scouting for a naval base on the west coast of Africa in the near future. Therefore, Chinese ships could be regularly patrolling off America's east coast. In recent testimony before the House and Senate Armed Services Committee, General Stephen Townsend, commander of the U.S. Africa Command, has been sounding the alarm. At the moment, China's only offshore military base is on the Horn of Africa. The facility is near some of the world's busiest shipping routes, including those going through the Suez Canal. And let's see. Yeah, breaking news out of Georgia as well came this week. Georgia's judge has approved an audit of some 145,000 absentee ballots in Fulton County to review what happened at the election. Also, Georgia election officials can't say how many absentee ballots were printed. They're trying to do an audit there. Lots of unanswered questions going on. And the Assembly Speaker of the state of Wisconsin, Robin Voss, has hired former police officers to investigate now the November election. Interesting deals going on. Let's get to the phone lines here today here on Crosstalk. They're packed right now. We'll hear what you have to say. William in East Troy, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, thank you for the great effort that you put in to bring all these things to us. I think it's good for Christians to be well-informed. I don't know if you mentioned, but Mr. Biden recently said that of the 165 million Americans who took the jab, that it was that they did their, quote, patriotic duty. Mm-hmm. I just want to say I totally disagree with Mr. Biden that I was a patriot before the COVID thing came along. I'm a patriot yesterday. I'm a patriot right now. And I'm patriotic tomorrow as an American. And as a believer, I have to make an informed decision about these things. I think it's terrible that our president would try to shame people to think that they're unpatriotic if they didn't get jabbed with a experimental drug that we have no idea what it's going to do to the population. I believe Christians need to be well-informed, and you guys help us to be well-informed. But I think that it's just terrible that the president would try to shame people into thinking that they're unpatriotic if they don't take this experimental whatever it is. And so I'm a little bit annoyed by that, and I just wanted to share that I can't even leave a comment, Brother Jim, at the White House right now because they've shut down the comment line. That's terrible.
Wow.
And I'm glad that the troops are leaving the Capitol because the troops are not supposed to be protecting the Capitol from American citizens. They should be at the border in Texas, not allowing illegal immigrants or invaders coming here to protect you and me. So, Mr. Biden, you're 100% wrong. I'm patriotic if I don't get the jab. Thank you for what you do, Brother Jim.
Thank you, William. Appreciate your call here today. Donald in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. One thing that's puzzled me, and Jim, you brought this up, you know, early in the broadcast about the estimated 4,000 deaths from the COVID vaccines, other ramifications. One thing that bothers me is why I don't find any reports of the vaccine manufacturers being shut down or the manufacturer officials being investigated.
No, they're held harmless. They're held harmless.
Side effects.
Yeah, they're held harmless. That's built right into it. They're held harmless.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not coming out in the news. Thank you, Donald. Jim, you're our next caller. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just... Thank you so much for all you do. I just really appreciate all this information, and I try to share it with my legislators as much as I can. Regarding the suicides in Colorado, state of Colorado, I was out there 2 years ago elk hunting in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and we were getting a hotel room, and we just struck up a conversation with the owner, and he said that since they legalized marijuana in Colorado, the suicide rate had just gone through the roof. Wow. There in Steamboat Springs. And so I got on the phone and called my state legislator.
Let me have you hold just a moment there because I'm up against a break. So I'll come right back to you here, Jim, right after the break. I want to hear what you have to say here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Tom Rentz is an attorney, and he worked with frontline medical doctors. They have just signed a temporary restraining order in federal court in fact, in the Northern District of Alabama. What are they seeking to do? To stop the pushing of the COVID vaccine on children 16 years of age and under. The number of doctors testifying in this legal briefing is staggering, including one that was Family Physician of the Year in 2016. He said there are zero cases of young people 16 and under dying from COVID. And yet, we're forcing onto many of them, like 130 institutions to go to college now, the COVID vaccine that is not by legal definition a vaccine. It also has not been tested long-term, nor on pregnant women. It could make children sterile. We don't know what the consequences are to their immune system, and yet we're forcing it on children. I agree with their legal briefing. I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We've got Jim on the line right now from Wisconsin, who was out hunting in Colorado. The hotel owner says since they legalized marijuana, it's been spiking as far as suicides and other issues going on. And so, Jim, you were taking some action regarding that.
Yeah, so that was about the time I think they were trying to legalize recreational use of marijuana here in the state. So I was contacting my legislators and saying, you know, don't let Governor Evers push this through. And I'm just really, we got to be proactive when we find out this stuff, you know, let people know this is where we're headed.
Yeah.
We allow this stuff to happen. So
thank you, Jim. And keep in mind that the budget is still in debate right now, and Governor Evers is still pushing for that to take place here in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call.
Keep the pressure on. Yeah. Thank you.
Mark is next, Monroe, Wisconsin.
Yes, my comment is with Memorial Day on Monday, I'm very concerned that our freedom with the military are being put to extreme risk because of the squad in particular and other foreign and domestic enemies stand for anti-Semitism. Long story short, based on Genesis 12:3, if God sets his face against the U.S., a great military and our freedom will be put to the, possibly to the wayside, all based on if we're against Israel.
Hmm. Well, the squad has increasingly been against Israel and have been pushing for money to be stripped from Israel, money to be given to pro-Palestinian causes. Lord willing, we're going to be back dealing with the Israel matter next week with Chris Katulka from the Friends of Israel, scheduled to be with us on the broadcast and to really heighten and talk about some of this going on, including the growing anti-Semitism as well.
Yeah, that should be really good.
Thank you, Mark, for calling.
Thank you.
Let's see, Deborah in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to make a comment. I heard it once on television that one of the women that got blood clots was on birth control pills, that they think that I'd be very, very careful if I was a woman on birth control pills, which is a very dangerous drug to begin with, about taking this vaccine. But I heard it once on national television. I never heard it again that some of these women have been on birth control pills. Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, I read some of the statistics from those who had taken the shot and the adverse effect having upon stillbirth or other very sad matters there as well. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Veronica in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to know if it's a true story about Biden with this pornography stuff, that he's giving $10 million to UNICEF to sponsor it. Is this the truth?
Is what the truth?
Is the truth that Biden is sponsoring UNICEF for this pornography stuff for the children?
Well,
it's terrible.
Biden's certainly been a promoter of a huge amount of funding to the United Nations. I'm not sure what his funding is for UNICEF right now. But UNICEF, this organization that is very much for the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, is saying that to take the pornography away from children is harmful to them and against children's rights. I have not heard President Biden speak on this aspect, but as far as funding for the UN, I mean, he's gung ho for that.
Right. It's terrible. You know that. You know, the thing is that he's so talking about children about things that don't get money for children and all, and then he's doing the thing, the opposite of everything. I think he's just a little, I hate to say it, but I think he's a little nuts.
Okay. Thank you, Veronica, for your thoughts. Colleen is next in Minnesota. You're on the air.
Yeah, we have the film Unidentified.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. Very powerful. Mm. Especially the mystery man at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
You and Rich had commented that believers who have questions can learn from this film, and I was one of those. It did answer my questions. And one of the things that I appreciated was that it explained the ways people from different backgrounds or different times can be deceived by UFOs.
Mm, very good. Yeah, it's a powerful film, and it's got a great evangelistic message in it as well. And certainly the world is abuzz right now, especially in the U.S., about UFOs and the military getting involved with that, that it's prime time to show this to unsaved individuals. But every person can identify with one of the characters in this film.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Thank you for the call, Colleen. Mm-hmm. And again, folks, you can get that at vcyamerica.org or by calling 800-729-9829. To Ohio, Maureen, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just have a comment about the issues of the day, and I just spoke with our doctor yesterday and asked him what he thought about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and he said, "Oh no, those are not. That's not what that's for. You've got to get a shot," because he had the shots, but yet he wanted to, you know, because one's for malaria, one's for parasites, but he was wanting me on an antidepressant for something, and I said, "Well, isn't that an antidepressant?" And he said, "Oh yeah, but we use it for other things too."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Okay, you want us all on psych meds, but we can't cure our COVID with this." And it just, that's all they do. And then tried to get on some telehealth, and if we did that, he would throw us out of the practice.
My. Maureen, thank you for sharing that with that sounded like a double standard to me. Finally, Ray in Fort Thompson, South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling about, my stepdaughter called me this morning, and she asked if I had some Tylenol or something. She said she woke up, she got the COVID shot like yesterday. And this is on our reservation, tribal reservation, and they're paying them $500 a person if they want to encourage them to get a shot.
$500 a person?
Yes. Yep. And she woke up crying. She had to take a bath, and she was crying, and she said, "Don't get the COVID shot," which I never planned on it anyway.
My.
But yeah.
Thank you, Ray, for sharing that. Sorry for hearing about that side effects and the goings on there. Friends, by the way, go to lc.org, Liberty Council. Matt Staver was with us this week. He's got a whole section, lc.org/vaccine, and you'll find much helpful information there. By the way, we just want to remind you, the Lord's Day is coming up this Sunday. Don't take a vacation from God. I saw a story where there are more churches that are closing than opened even since COVID broke out. Friends, I trust that you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-local church, Bible-believing teaching church this weekend. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.